and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. At least 11 people have been injured in a stabbing in Traverse City. CBS's Jerika Duncan.
Michigan State Police tonight report multiple people being stabbed in Walmart. Reports say several people have been hurt. However, state police say the suspect is in custody.
Overseas, Israel says it will resume airdrops of food into war-torn Gaza, where starving children are turning up at hospitals. But Alexandra Saye with the charity Save the Children says it's not enough.
Dropping energy bars or dried food from the sky across Gaza is not what's going to bring back children who are in these conditions back from the brink.
The BBC's Joe Inwood has more on the struggle to get aid into Gaza.
Israel blames international agencies for not moving it, but the UN and many foreign governments say that the blame lies with the Israeli government. The response to this impasse seems to be airdrops. But according to some of the world's biggest and most well-respected aid agencies, they are an expensive, inefficient, and dangerous way of getting aid into Gaza.
The King of Jordan says he spoke to President Trump about getting more aid into Gaza and ending the fighting there. President Trump is in Scotland, where he's playing golf and planning to talk trade with British and European leaders. But as CBS's Weijia Jiang reports...
The president received a less than warm reception from some Scottish protesters.
I think the vast majority of Scots have this sort of feeling about Trump. Even though he has Scottish roots, he's a disgrace to us.
We're saying no, we don't want you here.
Many demonstrators carried signs linking the president to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The Justice Department's reluctance to divulge more information about Epstein has dogged the president in recent weeks.
Heat advisories are in effect for the Southeast and the Midwest. Meteorologist Andrew Kozak.
From the Canadian border all the way down to the Gulf Coast, we have triple-digit temperatures and heat index numbers. That's the feels-like temperatures from 102 for areas like Birmingham, Nashville 102. It's the Carolinas, though, that it's going to be relentless, not just for the rest of the weekend, but in the week ahead.
Storms in Iowa have triggered flash flood warnings. Time to think about back-to-school shopping, CBS's Allie Bauman reports.
Target says their back-to-school prices are, for the most part, the same as last year. But in a sign of the times, the retailer is ending its 12-year-old policy and will no longer match prices to identical products sold by Amazon or Walmart.
A survey found most Americans started shopping early this year. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Miami Marlins. Lefty Jose Quintana on the mound for Milwaukee against Miami right-hander Jansen Junk. The Crew losing last night 5-1. Pitcher Freddie Peralta said there was a real cat-and-mouse game going on between him and the Marlins batters.
I was able to speed them up a little bit because they were trying to slow me down, and I was just trying to get them quick on the box and try to make my pitch and made them out quick because they knew what they were doing. But we realized that we didn't know time, and we made adjustment.
NFL in Green Bay, Mark Murphy saying goodbye after 17 years as the Packers president and CEO. Murphy holding a final press conference after the shareholders meeting that drew over 6,000 shareholders. Murphy's advice to his successor, Ed Policy.
Fire quickly, hire slowly. So take your time, you know, when you're hiring people.
That's Mark Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight. The low within a few degrees of 70. For tomorrow, some early fog, then it'll be hot and humid. A high right around 90 degrees, the heat index approaching 100. Some storms possible tomorrow night. It's 82 right now.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Wisconsin News headlines from the weekend. Who may be in the running for governor next? And previewing our Tuesday show with Joe Thomas. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kellen Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Also, Free Ticket Fridays is underway, so grab your phone. Open up the Civic Media app. This is the only way to enter this contest is via the Civic Media app. Greg, you work here. You can't enter. Dan Schaefer, you're the political editor here. You also cannot enter. Put your phones down.
Oh, man.
Right now. See, this? I'm the killer of joy. This is my job. But for you, you can enter if you don't work for Civic Media. Text in the word blue, B-L-U-E. Text in the word blue right now, and you're in the running for some really good seats. 4-pack of tickets, club-level seats to see the Brewers host the Cubs next Wednesday. Going to be a hot... They are the hottest team in baseball right now. These are going to be big, big tickets. Text in the word blue, B-L-U-E. Tom Hartman will have a different word for you from 11 to 2. Todd Alba then from 2 to 4. And Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. The word to text in, just like Jesse in Dane County, is blue, B-L-U-E. Dan Schaefer is here. Again, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Talking about the news, big news yesterday, Governor Evers announced he will not be running for a third term. And we're going to talk a little bit about people who are now jumping in the race. I did want to share this one comment from Christine and Slinger, listening on WAUK, who says, I love Tony Evers, a sweet man and a good governor. One thing I know for sure, he's not on the Epstein list.
Wouldn't it be weird if he was, though? You were like, wait, why? Oh,
it was a little fundraiser.
Christine, that is so funny.
That's hilarious.
Thank you for
bringing
that.
Together some storylines.
Yeah, exactly. Tying it together nicely.
I want to tell a really, really quick Tony Evers story for myself. And this speaks to his ability to just not be a politician in the moment. I was at a restaurant in Milwaukee just having lunch, and I saw him there, and people were kind of, you know, they were doing their thing. They see the governor. They want to talk to him. I've worked in politics. I've met a lot of politicians. It's not that I wasn't impressed with him, but I also knew just keep eating your lunch. I'm fine. But yeah. I was also wearing a Brewers hoodie and a Brewers hat because I'm pretty sure I was going to a game that day, or maybe it was just Tuesday. But I'm just sitting there eating my lunch and literally not looking at anybody. I just hear someone come up to me and say, so how do you think they're going to do tonight? And I'm like, it's him. And I'm like, and I don't do anything other than talk about baseball with him. And it was a natural, great conversation about baseball. And then that was it. I didn't ask for an autograph or a picture. He didn't try to like sell me on him. He just asked me about baseball and he moved on. And that was... that was the thing I will never forget as long as I live. I just loved it.
That's a great story. Yeah. It is a good story. He's a regular person and a really good example of a Wisconsinite. Mm-hmm. I think he's humble. He's not a braggart. I don't think that flies with most people in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to be greatly missed.
Yeah,
I really do. I really think so.
He talked about when he was reelected. He was like, yeah, boring wins, you know?
Anti-malarkey ticket. That's right. You got to love it.
Anti-malarkey ticket.
Not a big surprise, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is kind of the first one out of the gate.
First official campaign announcement out of the gate this morning. The press release hit my inbox at 7 a.m. She's got the announcement video out. She has made it official. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is running for governor. So as expected, I think we had kind of a short list. I had even included in my column, last month or whatever, about who the potential candidates might be. No surprise at all that Sarah Rodriguez is getting into the mix. She's someone who's had a pretty interesting 5 years in Wisconsin politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she flipped a key assembly seat in 2020. Basically the second round of people flipping an assembly seat in kind of the western Milwaukee area suburbs. Robin Vining, who is now running for state senate, did it in 2018, and Sarah Rodriguez did it in 2020, defeating Rob Hutton there. And then basically what happened next was that the Republicans really gerrymandered her district specifically for the 2022 map. So then she ran for lieutenant governor instead of seeking reelection in the assembly, won that race for lieutenant governor, joined Tony Evers on the ticket, and then has of course been the state's lieutenant governor for the past couple of years. She's got a background in healthcare. She was a nurse. I believe she worked with some larger healthcare companies. Yep. I forget exactly which it was.
Yep.
But she emphasized wanting to expand Medicaid in her announcement video. What'd you guys think of that video?
I thought it was really great.
I thought so. For me personally, I think one of the biggest uphill battles for Sarah Rodriguez is she's lieutenant governor. Nobody really knows who she is. As I said earlier, I think it's a more ceremonial position than the VP of the United States of America. And that is going to be tough for her. But that being said, that video was so good. It was energetic. It was fun. It was funny. It was funny without trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. It wasn't listening to someone trying to be a politician, trying to connect. This was a real person talking real game. I enjoyed the jokes. The swipe at Arkansas, I'm like, whoa, okay, you're going big. Referring to the president as a maniac. I mean, I think those were very important things to say, because she's kind of been quiet in the background for the past few years because she's lieutenant governor. So she has to make a big claim.
Well, and like you said, Greg, it's not an important position. I'm sorry, but it's not.
It's not a job with a lot of responsibilities.
It's really not a job. Yeah. And she's rarely in front of the public, and she's rarely taking points on policies or anything like that. So she really does have to kind of now completely reintroduce herself to folks. And mm-hmm. I think she did a great job with that introductory video yesterday. You mentioned some of the jokes she includes in her intro video about how she was an honor student.
She's a National Merit Scholar.
And she's like, I didn't want to put this in there, but my mother thinks it's important, so this is for you, Mom. It's adorable. It's adorable.
Yeah. She says, my mom will want me to tell you that I'm a National Merit Scholarship. I know you don't care, but she does.
But she does. Yeah. It's great.
It was well written. It was natural. It was fun. And I just, I'm not saying she's going to be the next one or I support her for, but at least that's what needs to happen, especially with all the noise. And I don't know, Dan, I mean, give your thoughts, you and Jane both. How big do you think this primary will end up being? You've got two people who are already in. And that means, I feel like, and it's less than 24 hours after the announcement.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big field. But before we move on from Rodriguez, too, I want to note that, like, as I covered a gazillion different campaign rallies last year, you know, the way they do it, they usually have like all of the Wisconsin Democrats who will kind of like lead up to the headliner and all of that.
Right.
And I've been routinely impressed by Rodriguez in those scenarios as well. When she's been in those you know, campaign environments. And she, you know, there's a lot of people that are that you'll hear from over the course of these days. And I think she's been pretty impressive in those speeches and continues to get better. And I think as we see in that video today, that she's got some real political chops. So yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes. And then, as you alluded to there, we've also got a second candidate who has made it all but official. Basically, this morning, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley released a statement thanking Governor Evers and celebrating his accomplishments as governor, and also saying, quote, "In the weeks ahead, I will be taking steps toward entering the race for governor." So
that was pretty much expected.
Was very much expected. Yeah. He had, you know, in an interview I did with Crowley in December of 2023, he said to me that if Evers doesn't run again, he's probably going to run.
Well, and the one that we're Cavalier Johnson, who is the mayor of Milwaukee, is kind of waffling about it right now. I don't see that happening. I don't see the Milwaukee mayor throwing in for this time around. I just don't.
I think of the two Milwaukee leaders, I do think it's more likely going to be Crowley. I mean, it obviously is going to be Crowley since he says he's going to run. It wouldn't shock me if both ran, but I think just, they're both young men, right? They're both going to have plenty of opportunities to run for higher office over the years. I think of the two, it's far more likely that Crowley would. Crowley, I think, has also gotten a bit more done in Milwaukee County than Cavalier Johnson has been able to do in the city of Milwaukee as well. You know, part of that is just with Crowley has a really good relationship with the Milwaukee County Board that had basically never happened in my lifetime up until then. And I think the relationship that Johnson has had with the council has been a little bit more prickly.
A little more fractious.
In a few different senses. So I think, yeah, and Crowley is somebody I have seen as a rising star in the party for quite some time. One of the first things I did back when in the very first year of the recombobulation area, I covered the race for Milwaukee County Executive and interviewed at the time State Senator Chris Larson, then State Representative David Crowley, and then County Board Chair Theo Lipscomb. And I ended up endorsing Crowley in that race, and one of my first big decisions or whatever, getting out there, making a bold call, I try to do that every once in a while. I think he is somebody who builds himself as a bridge builder, as somebody who gets things done. And I think that is really something that we need a lot of in Democratic politics these days. It's that action that he brings to the office, too.
I think there's a unique talent in David Crowley, too. And this is nothing against Cavalier Johnson. First of all, I think that having both leaders of Milwaukee running for governor at the same time will be, I don't think that's the best thing for Milwaukee as a city and a county. But I think that David Crowley presents a better story of, look, I work with the county of Milwaukee. That is a million people throughout the entire thing. That is a lot of differing opinions. There's a lot of attitudes that we have to work with, and we have to work together. And that's what I've been doing. And I have the record to show, because, you know, you can make the argument, all right, he is a black man. He is a black man from Milwaukee. He is from southeastern Wisconsin. He's all these things that could be running against him for other people in Wisconsin to say, well, I don't want someone from Milwaukee. This doesn't work for me. I think David walks into this primary saying, I understand that. I get that. I've dealt with that. This is what I'm going to do. Yeah. And we're going to talk. Mm-hmm. And let's sit down and you tell me, as someone who lives in Hayward or someone who lives in Butternut or Wanderoos, what is troubling you most about the state right now? And how can I be a part of that solution? Mm-hmm. I think David has more ability to do that than Chevy does right now. And once again, this is no disrespect to Mayor Johnson. I just think that David right at this moment is more equipped.
Dan Schaefer is our guest, Civic Media's political editor, the creator of the recombobulation area. We are talking about Governor Evers' announcement yesterday that he will not be seeking a third term. Now we have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who has officially announced she is in the race. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley alluding to the fact that in the next couple of weeks, he will likely be joining. I'm curious, who would you like to see enter the race? 855-752-4842. Tony on the live stream. Someone who can lead and represent the whole state? Sounds like Pat Kreitlow from Chippewa Falls.
Chippewa Falls' favorite son, Pat Kreitlow.
Pat Kreitlow for Gov. We'll take your suggestions as well at 855-752-4842. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the globe, baby, on the Civic Media app. Starts to cry. She takes a-
swing man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane said. Jane
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years. And we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, we can't read a poker face. Deep cuts, the way it goes when you're a part of it. And some authentic cringe. This is how you remind. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. Hello, everybody on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Free Ticket Friday. You've got about 40-ish minutes to text in the word via the Civic Media app. Mm. Text in the word blue, B-L-U-E. We are playing for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club level seats for next Wednesday's game as the crew hosts the Cubs. Hot, hot tickets. Mm-hmm. We do ask that you're able to go next Wednesday. It's going to be a day game. But if you're interested and you want these tickets, text in the word blue right now via the Civic Media app, B-L-U-E, just like Janet in Madison and Jim in Germantown and Dan in Green Bay and David in Richland Center. Makes me very happy to see all those come in. Free Ticket Friday, blue is the word until 11 o'clock BLUE. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, talking about the big news yesterday, Governor Evers not seeking a third term. We now know that Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez has officially entered the race. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley is hinting he will be jumping in the next couple of weeks. And we would like to hear from you. Who would you like to see jump in? 855-752-4842. Linda on the live stream says, I think Sarah Godlewski would be a great candidate for Wisconsin governor. I agree.
Yep. She's definitely part of the conversation. That's someone you've brought up in the past. Roger in Stevens Point texts in saying, what about Mark Pocan? He would be money. Oh, he would be money. I see. That's a parlance of the youth. He is very articulate and an excellent communicator. I don't disagree that Mark Pocan is a very excellent discussion point. I don't know if he'd be a great candidate at this moment. Also, he's made no real push. I mean, that's one of the things when we're talking about the who is going to run and, you know, the possible primary field is who seems to have that, whether it's raising money or just has that notion that to move edge. Forward. And some people Mark Pocan has never seen like a guy who wants to be governor. He likes his job in Congress.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was interested to see if he was going to run for Senate a few years back, but I don't think he would, you know, after all the time that he spent in Congress in DC, come back to the state necessarily. I don't know. It's an interesting point of discussion, but his name is not one that I've heard a whole lot of.
Yeah.
So I had when I wrote my piece about Tony Evers last month, I included a kind of like who would be on the Democrats bench. And so we mentioned a couple of those names with Sarah Rodriguez and David Crowley. Listener mentioning Sarah Godlewski, I imagine she will be in the mix in some capacity, Secretary of State. I do think Attorney General Josh Call is pretty likely to be a candidate. It's something he's alluded to many times. And then also, I think State Senator Kelda Royce, I would expect her to get into the mix as well.
She's great.
To round out my initial list of six, you know, the kind of wild card would be former party chair Ben Wickler.
Yeah. Jerry has just put that on the live stream. He'd like to see Wickler into the mix.
He would be a very interesting candidate. And then, you know, beyond that, we mentioned Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Also, Mandela Barnes told me yesterday that he is thinking about it and will consider a run for governor. We'll see, you know, if that happens, remains to be seen what exactly, you know, he's doing beyond thinking about it. But I think I think it's going to be a big field. Like, this is the first time, and especially now that Evers isn't running, I think more people will see more Republican candidates take their shot as well. And this will be the first open field for governor since 2010.
Yeah, a long time. It's been a long time.
So since Scott Walker defeated Tom Barrett in 2010. So I think there's going to be a lot of people, you know, getting into the mix. I think, and then there's going to be some, you know, other implications down the ballot too. So you'll have an open race for Attorney General if Josh Call decides to run for governor.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll have an open race for Secretary of State if Sarah Godlewski decides to run for governor.
Yeah.
And so one of the sources I was talking to yesterday mentioned, like, we might have open primaries for all four state constitutional officers for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, and state treasurer.
That'd be a first too.
That would be amazing.
So that would just be absolutely wild with the number of people who would be getting into that. And then also you've got, you know, bigger names running for state senate and state assembly next year as Democrats look to try to win that Democratic trifecta as well. So it's going to be an absolutely fascinating 2026 election cycle in Wisconsin.
While it might be the midterms for America, and those are going to be very important, don't get me wrong, I understand the gravity of the midterms for this country, Wisconsin's election next year is going to be bonkers. There's going to be so much coverage coming to Wisconsin, as always, but it's going to be the talking points for really the next almost 2 years.
Yeah. And we also had a comment. Jarius also said, I hope Governor Evers is able to get some good stuff done during the lame duck session. Again, he's got 17 months left. I would just like to see all of his appointees who have been languishing for 5.5 years actually just get appointed.
Yeah.
Just as a bone on the way out. Can we just do this for him, please?
Maybe he should call a special session. Just like, guys.
Come on.
I made brownies.
we'll have a fish fry. We'll play some euchre. We'll confirm some appointees.
It'll be fun. Let's all do this. Okay. Yeah. Dan Schaefer, thank you so very much. You're going to stay with us.
I'll stick around for Audio Sorbet. I love Audio Sorbet.
Okay. Audio Sorbet is coming up. I couldn't find my car. I lost the car in the parking garage. I wandered around for 40 minutes. Am I the only one who's ever lost my car? You're both looking at me like, yes, no one else has ever lost their car.
No. My goodness.
That's audio survey coming up in just a little bit. Tell me I'm not alone. News is next. Keep it right here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Grown Radio, WFHR. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief, a mass stabbing in Michigan, Tinsley Jatine reports.
Grand Traverse County Sheriff's Office is investigating multiple stabbings that happened at the Traverse City Walmart. They say the suspect is in custody. Police are asking that people avoid this area for now.
A local hospital says it's treating 11 patients from the scene. The UN warns nearly 1 in 3 people in Gaza goes days without food. CBS's Haley Ott.
Israel has said it will begin humanitarian airdrops and reopen humanitarian corridors inside the Gaza Strip, but stressed that it would continue combat operations.
President Trump is in Scotland to play golf and talk trade, but as CBS's Weijia Jiang reports,
though he's thousands of miles from home, Trump is still fielding questions about the Jeffrey Epstein case.
Protesters in Scotland carried signs linking the convicted sex trafficker to Trump. Trump says he broke off contact with Epstein years ago. CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Miami Marlins. Lefty Jose Quintana on the mound for Milwaukee against Miami right-hander Jansen Junk. The Crew losing last night 5-1. Pitcher Freddie Peralta said there was a real cat-and-mouse game going on between him and the Marlins batters.
I was able to speed them up a little bit because they were trying to slow me down, and I was just trying to get them quick on the box and try to make my pitch and made them out quick because they knew what they were. But we realized that we had no time, and we made the adjustment.
NFL in Green Bay, Mark Murphy saying goodbye after 17 years as the Packers president and CEO. Murphy holding a final press conference after the shareholders meeting that drew over 6,000 shareholders. Murphy's advice to his successor, Ed Policy.
Fire quickly, hire slowly. So take your time, you know, when you're hiring people.
That's Mark Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its 4 seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight. The low within a few degrees of 70. For tomorrow, some early fog, then it'll be hot and humid. A high right around 90 degrees, the heat index approaching 100. Some storms possible tomorrow night. Currently, it's 87.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to author Laura Byrd recommending books with a connection to nature and Senator Tammy Baldwin on keeping rural drinking water clean in Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You still have 20-ish minutes. Don't make me math. To text in the word blue via the Civic Media app, BLUE. Open up your Civic Media app, text in the word blue. It's free ticket Fridays. You are in the running for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club level seats for next Wednesday's game when the Brewers host the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Hot tickets for one of the hottest team in baseball. Text in the word blue right now, BLUE. And good luck. Tom Hartman will have a new word for you from 11 to 2, then a new one with Todd Alba 2 to 4, and the same with Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Four chances yet today to get in the running for these tickets. Mm-hmm. The word right now, though, is blue, BLUE. This is the portion of the show that has turned into audio sorbet, where we lighten things up and get away from all the heavy news just so we can have a laugh and make fun of people.
Who are we making fun of today, Jane?
That would be me.
Oh, why?
That would be me. We had our host meeting in Madison on Wednesday. This, yes. We do this about every 6 months. And I was running late. I hate being late. I'm almost always on time or early.
Yes.
And on the way to Madison on Wednesday morning, I stopped for a cup of coffee and a bagel that took 25 minutes. And you're in the line, and now I can't get out of the line because someone's behind me. Mm-hmm. So it's like I am dedicated now to waiting to get my coffee and so that set me behind. And I get to Madison, and there's this parking structure that we all use that's right behind the station. And I didn't pay attention to where I had parked.
Yeah.
Because I'm late, and I don't like to be late. So I get there, and I park, and I run in, and we start our meeting, and all is good. Meeting lasts most of the day. It's 9,000 degrees on Wednesday. It's really, really hot. The meeting ends. I go to get my car, and I can't find it. And I'm not taught, this isn't the biggest parking structure in the world. It's maybe 5 levels, but it's not gargantuan.
No.
I wandered around for 40 minutes.
Not quite the full Seinfeld episode.
Not quite.
But 40 minutes to be looking for your car, that's not a fun time.
And I'm using my fob, and I could hear it faintly, but it's echoing around the parking structure. So I'm trying to determine where my fob is ringing, and it's not helping me. And so at one point, I'm soaking wet. I am drenched. And I thought, I'm going to melt into a puddle, and I'm just going to die here. I'm just going to stay here forever. So I texted Greg and I said, I can't find my car. And he said, do you need help? And I'm like, oh, yeah. It's been 40 minutes.
Well, You said I can't find my car, and I responded with what? I don't know why I responded with that, no, but whatever.
Yeah, what a helpful response.
Shut up, Dan. Go win an award. But you know, I was like, I can't find my car. What? Okay, I thought maybe in 5 minutes it'd be like, I found my car. I'm on my way home. See you tomorrow. Whatever. It kept going, and then finally I said, because I was at the Comedy Club on State for their open mic on Wednesdays, and I had gotten on the list, and I was like, do you? Because the club is in the basement of the building that Civic Media's headquarters are in. So I'm literally like a 2 minute walk from Jane. I probably would find Jane sooner than she'd find her car. But I say, do you want me to come help you? You say yes.
Yes.
And I knew in my brain the next thing that was going to happen. I was going to go up the elevator, go up to the office, go out the back. And as soon as I'm about to say I'm here, I see I found my car. Yeah. And I'm like, that's exactly how this moment was going to play out. But
I was so relieved.
I mean, yes. Yeah.
Really.
Well,
I was so relieved.
I think that's what you have to do, though, in those moments. You have to vocalize that you have to give up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Like, I lose things around my house all the time. And I'm just like, well, I'll, and as soon as I say to my wife, hey, I can't find my shoes, then I turn around and they're right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like one of those things that you have to admit surrender.
You have to surrender.
That's the moment that you will find things.
I do that all the time when there's things here where I'll say, hey, I'll send an email to someone very important in this company. Be like, hey, this thing isn't working. And then as soon as I send it, I go, hey, did I try this thing? I tried. It's fine. Then I just send another email. Sorry about that. Never mind. You're working with someone who's clearly incapable.
The universe has a sense of humor.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Have you ever lost your car in a parking garage or parking lot? That is our audio sorbet subject for today. 855-752-4842. Help me feel better. John from West Bend texting in, listening to WAUK. Our first Jimmy Buffett concert at Alpine Valley. We couldn't remember where our car was. We walked around the parking lots for an hour in the rain before we found it. That's a huge parking lot.
That's not even
Alpine
a tough
spot to lose your car, it's not like you have, like, you know, you're on level
D7.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not a parking lot. Those are parking acres. That is,
yes.
Yeah. That is one of those things where you can just say, hey, Alpine Valley, my car is yours now. And you just leave. I mean, you have to really work to remember where your car is at. And if you're going to, I mean, if you're having any sort of drinks or you're going to, I don't know, like a fish show, that memory starts to fail you later on in the evening. I mean, yeah, I couldn't even imagine losing my car in Alpine Valley. I don't like that place to begin with, but.
Oh, what a nightmare.
My heart goes out to you.
Where have you lost your car? Have you not been able to find your car either in a garage or a parking lot? Carmela from Milwaukee. Jane, I've done that, but on a smaller scale. I went to the right spot, but the wrong floor. Only a few minutes of inconvenience. I feel for you having to take 40 minutes of your time. Some GPS maps have a feature where you can tag where you parked. I've never used it. That sounds like a really good idea, Carmela.
That's very smart.
I could use that thing. I remember a Seinfeld episode where the four major characters did the same thing, wandering around a parking garage, trying to figure out where they left their car.
One of my favorite Seinfeld episodes, too. I'm a huge Seinfeld fan.
Just wandering around a parking structure.
And they were wandering around, and Kramer was holding an air conditioner. And he made sure that I watched the behind the scenes on this, that it was a real air conditioner.
Oh,
that
yeah.
He wanted to like have the physical comedy of just like lugging this thing around. So, you know, he's a legend for physical comedy. I will say I have lost my car once, Jane. So I will join you in losing your car. I did it at a Brewer game. I marked down the wrong lot.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I was in like the Yount lot. I was in the Euchre lot or whatever it was.
How long did it take you?
It took me like well over an hour. Yeah.
I temporarily misplaced my car at a Brewers game once. And of course it was the game where I was with friends and I drove and they're doing that thing of like, at first like, oh, where's the car? That's fine. Hey, use your key. I'm using my key right now.
That's how I felt.
And then it goes from like, hey, where's the car? Let's all to like, they're far behind you, quiet and like tired. And you're like, I'm really
losing my people.
I'll call you an Uber if you want. I understand. Yeah. Also, we don't have to be friends anymore. But I do something where I look to see where I thought I have parked, and I didn't park there and there's no car there. And I immediately say my car was stolen.
Oh, God.
And then I go, oh, it's just over that spot there. Okay, cool. Sorry, everybody.
Never mind. Sorry about the theft alert. Audio sorbet today. Have you ever but not been able to find your vehicle either in a parking garage or just in a parking lot? Ollie from the North Woods joining us on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Please tell me I'm not alone.
Oh, you're not alone.
Oh, thank you.
I had the worst experience. I had taken a gentleman's car to get groceries for him when I worked as a home health. And when I came out of Costco, I couldn't find the car.
Oh, no.
Yep.
There were too many cream-colored cars that all looked the same. So I stood there for a while, and I thought, well, I can't call him and tell him I can't find his car. So I decided to use the back end of the key to the back end that opened automatic. Mm-hmm. And that worked just fine. And so I used it all the time after that.
Right? Now it's like I parked in this. But you can't go by the car next to you because it might be gone by the time you get back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I like Carmilla's idea with the GPS tag. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds like a really good idea. Thank you so much, Ollie. Really appreciate it. You make me feel better.
I always take a picture of my car now when I park.
Do you
somewhere
really?
That is somewhere that I am unfamiliar with, I will take a picture of it.
That's really
smart.
Because
that will, like, geotag where you are, in addition to just, like, you have the visual of just, like, oh, I'm in D7 or just whatever it is. Yeah. At that lot yesterday or Wednesday. When we were... Because I've gotten confused in that. It's a confusing lot.
Thank you.
A good lot.
I got confused when I got there on Wednesday because I parked one floor up thinking that's where the office... The parking lot on the second floor leads directly to our back door office. You need a key card to get in. You can't just walk in. But I got in my car. This isn't so much about losing my car. It's about how lazy I am. I parked on that third floor and I was like, oh, they're one floor down. Well, I guess I got to get in my car and go find a new parking spot because I don't want to walk. So whatever. You lost your car. Don't look at me in judgment.
No judgment.
But yeah, it's a little bit of a confusing room to be in. But when I go to Brewers games, even though I know I park in the same lot every time, I'll walk farther because I know it. I will still go, Euchre, B2. And I'll say it out loud like that I remember. And it's just
so it imprints on your brain.
Yes, absolutely.
Audio sorbet, have you ever not been able to find your vehicle in a parking garage or just in a parking lot? My husband texted me and said, when the first time we flew over for me to meet his family, my husband is English. Mm. And we flew over so I could meet his family for the first time. And one of his brothers is picking us up at the airport. England was undergoing a cold snap like they haven't seen in probably 15 years. It was 12 degrees. It's never 12 degrees in England. His brother picks us up at the airport. Manchester airport, big airport.
Yeah.
Cannot find the car. It had to have been almost 2 hours.
Oh my gosh.
I think we followed him. I felt so badly for him. The first time I'm meeting him, he doesn't have gloves. He doesn't have a winter jacket. Mm. I'm not dressed for, I don't have a puffer jacket on or something.
Sure.
But yeah, we wandered around forever and ultimately made it.
Yeah.
And then I met his family and the story went on from there. But anyway, yes, that was now in his family lore.
Yeah. I'm sure that story has now been told a few times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do a terrible Manchester accent, but I imagine that whole thing of like the you know, James, you find your car, you lose. It's like, I didn't lose my car. Your guy lost the car. This isn't on me. But yeah, I get that. I'm there with you, Jane. There's no judgment.
See, and I like Dan's idea now of taking a picture of it.
Yeah.
And then the level that it's on.
Yeah.
That would have probably helped me considerably.
I do that whenever I park in that very lot because I didn't wander around for 40 minutes. So I'll say that. But I have.
Yeah, I was literally like, I think now is the point where I start crying and I'm just going to sit down and cry and sweat. I'll just be here sweating and crying.
Well, when I walked into the parking lot, I almost just, as I'm walking in, you text and say you found the car. I almost just yelled Jane, and then I realized, oh, a dude yelling a woman's name in a dark parking lot.
Maybe not the
best move to start with.
Not a good idea. All right, we are going to wrap things up with this Shouldn't Be a Thing Fashion Labubu edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Text in the word blue on the Civic Media app. Good luck. I think I can use
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR. Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sport.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life. But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Caliente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got 7 minutes for you to text in the word blue, B-L-U-E. Blue is the word to text in via the Civic Media app only. And that's going to get you in the running for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets for this coming Wednesday when the Brewers host the Cubs. Going to be a huge game.
Yes, it is.
Big game.
The race for first place.
Yes. Blue is the word to text in, B-L-U-E. That will get you in the running. Tom Hartman will have another word for you to text in between 11 and 2. The same with Todd Alba from 2 to 4 and Maggie Dawn wrapping it up today from 4 to 6. Right now, text in the word blue, B-L-U-E, and good luck.
Big thanks to Dan Schaefer for being with us for an extended period.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's really one story, but it morphs into so many more conversations. And these are conversations we're going to be having for the next 16 months. And to just as a thing on the live stream, we weren't, as far as elections go, it's tough. There's a lot of elections happening and it can get daunting, but we're not sick of it. It's important to stay informed. It's important to stay active. MyVote.wi.gov. Talk to your representatives. But yeah, we're going to keep it going. And thank you, Dan, for being here.
Yeah, very much so. Subscribe to the Recombobulation, by the way. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Coming up for you next week on the show, Shelley Pittman, our civic media news director, is going to be back on Monday to recap all the weekend news. Shelley's fantastic. Mm-hmm. A relatively new addition here at Civic Media. We're always looking for folks, by the way. If you are interested in joining Civic Media, go to civicmedia.us and check out our job openings. Pat Kreitlow will be here on Tuesday. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is going to join us. We miss her.
Oh, thank God.
She's going to be joining us next Wednesday. And then Jim Santel on Thursday. Jim is the host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays from 9 to 11. I highly encourage you to check out his show as well. It's fantastic. It is 10:55, Calvin. It's getting a little late. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Should you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from purseblog.com. Yes.
That's a weird name for a person.
That's a thing. Purseblog.com. The headline reads, "Why is everyone obsessed with these creepy dolls hanging off of expensive bags? Because nothing says fashion elite like a creepy, cute keychain. They're called Labubus."
Oh, boy.
L-A-B-U-B-U. Labubus. Imagine a cabbage. Whoa. Imagine a Cabbage Patch Kid that was possessed. That's what Labubus look like.
And Cabbage Patch Kids in the first place were not.
We're a little weird looking, but these look demented.
Yeah.
Right? They look like demented stuffed toys.
It's like, hey, do you want to see every tooth in my head? This is what those things are. If you took a Cabbage Patch Kid and what was the Monchichi dolls? From when we were little kids, with the little monkey with the put the thumb in the mouth.
Oh, sure.
If you took those two things and you put them together, that's what this is. And it is horrifying.
Yeah, they're not even, I wouldn't go, oh, that's so cute.
I need one next to me.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like, ew, I don't, oh, no. So these Labubus, I looked it up, range anywhere from $25 to $300.
What?
For these overpriced, ugly stuffed things that you hang off of your very expensive handbags.
Jane, how expensive do handbags get? $40, $50?
An Hermes handbag can run up to $15,000-$20,000, depending upon the bag. It's insane. Gucci bags, Louis Vuitton bags. These are all very, very highly priced bags. Birkins.
That's the
Fendi's.
One. Because Birkin, you need an invitation, right?
You have to get on a waiting list.
Oh, my God.
The Birkins can cost 15, 20, more than that.
I don't even
thousands and thousands
this.
Of dollars. So we have celebrities now who are starting this trend, apparently, to hang these ugly stuffed dolls off of their way, way overpriced bags. It's just wrong.
I really don't like this. Like,
it's just wrong.
It's just so... what's the word I'm looking for? Dumb. Dumb.
There is no single reason behind the rise of the Labubu doll.
Yes.
As trends normally do, the item has slipped into the consciousness of a few early adopters, including celebrities, and now it is exploding across social media.
And that's, Jane, all it takes. It takes one celebrity to say, I like this thing. Why do you like it? It's cute. And then everyone says, well, when I got to have it. No, you don't.
You really don't.
No, you don't.
You don't. I would, if you still have your Cabbage Patch doll, put a chain on that and hang it on your bag.
Someday I'll tell you the story of going to the Cabbage Patch doll factory in Atlanta. It is disturbing.
That's a whole nother tisbet segment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Calvin, that wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and for watching on the stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We got news coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday.
Is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Heather Bosch.
Do we have a location of where that patient is at on North? I just tried it.
Police in Traverse City, Michigan, getting called to a mass stabbing at a Walmart store. A local hospital says it's received 11 patients from the scene. No word on a motive. A suspect is in custody. Overseas. Palestinians with empty pots in their hands scrambled to get food at a soup kitchen in Gaza City. People throughout the war-torn territory are starving, the BBC's Hugo Bachega reports.
Under pressure, Israel says countries will now be allowed to drop supplies from the air, a symbolic gesture that won't solve the crisis. The head of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees has described the announcement as inefficient and a distraction, and says the process can even kill people on the ground.